Today's AudioCast for Friday, June 16th, 2006 is made possible by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney reporting for AvWeb's Audio News Service. There's so much going on in aviation these days, it can be hard to keep up. But few people have their ears closer to the ground than Hal Shevers of Sporty's Pilot Shop. Because of the range of products and services his business provides, Hal has to be on top of most things aviation. AvWeb's Russ Niles talked to him about the state of GA, the threats that loom, and opportunities that may be coming up. Caution, some of what Hal has to say may surprise you.
So how are things going generally, Hal?
Well, if you take a look at Sporty's, you'll see, our main business is aviation education and the catalog and running the flight school for the University of Cincinnati. We've also taken a sleepy little airport here in Batavia, Ohio, which 18 years ago when we bought out the FBO had 30 aircraft. We now have 130 aircraft based here and 18 more T-hangers going up, for a total of 111, plus our larger hangars, of course. We've got a Part 141 certificate for the flight school. We also teach under Part 61 as Eastern Cincinnati Aviation. We've got an avionics shop, which is Cincinnati Avionics, so that's a Part 145 shop. So we're in a lot of different things. Did I mention we run the airport for the county, and which means we plow the snow, we mow the grass, whatever, and things are very much in flux right now because of two main things. We used to think of the FAA as our worst enemy. Now our worst enemy seems to be the TSA. We're just seeing more and more government, which of course is worse and worse.
How has the TSA impacted your business?
Well, we seem to be the people the TSA watch very, very carefully as for small airports, because we have had as much publicity since 9/11 as we have. So the TSA has made several inspections over here, some unannounced, and well, we're really pretty good. There's one guy in the TSA who flies a Bonanza, and we're almost a poster child for the area, but even though we're a poster child, they want more, more, more. They filled out an extensive analysis of our security here at the airport and made lots and lots of suggestions, and we'll call them recommendations. All they do is make recommendations, but you got to remember, recommendations of today will be mandatory tomorrow. That's the way the government works. As for the FAA, actually, we've got very good relations with our FISDO office here, but there's just more and more government coming down our way. Once they give you a little bit of funding, they want to start telling you how to do everything at your airport. For instance, they don't like these through-the-fence operations. They're really against them. Through-the-fence being somebody on private property like Sporty's is, and AirMod, and Select Aircraft, and Cincinnati Avionics, plus the T-hangers here on private property. And what they really dislike, which I think is just opposite of the policy they should have, and that is they're very much against airport residential parks. In other words, houses with hangars. Now, we look at it as this development we're doing. We're going to get a group of people who are vociferously going to protect the airport, because right now there are 1,500 homes being built with a mile and a half of the airport, and we're going to need a lot of friends and a lot of help, because sooner or later, it's just a question of when, there'll be a couple people decide they don't like aircraft noise. And it may be for monetary reasons they don't like it, but if for one reason or another, they will become a problem.
Sounds like Batavia is sort of like a microcosm of all the problems that every airport in the U.S. is having right now.
I think that is absolutely correct. Absolutely.
How about user fees? The specter of user fees continues to hang over the U.S. aviation industry. And I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on how that whole shift is going to come about and whether it's going to come about.
Well, I don't think it's going to come about, and we've got to make sure it does not come about. NBAA, National Business Aviation Association, came right out and said they've enlisted the help of the AOPA's 408,000 members and their clout user fees would hurt general aviation terrifically. You can see the rationale for it, saying, well, we use the same amount of airspace, so on and so forth. But then again, we don't require those 12,000-foot runways. We don't have a bunch of people and passengers and all this. And if general aviation disappeared tomorrow, there'd only be 20% less usage of the airspace used for instrument flying, because we're only 20% of it, and it wouldn't cut 1 cent out of the FAA's budget. Everything that's in place would still be required to be in place. If we really paid our fair share like the airlines want us to, are they going to treat us equally? In other words, we're going to have a Piper Cherokee lined up with the 707s going into O'Hare or into Seattle or someplace like that. No, they want us to pay, and then they want to control the board that runs the FAA or that says where the dollars go for aviation. They want us to pay our share but not give us a fair shake. So it's just one of these things, and we've got to fight for our share and make sure it doesn't happen.
You're selling lots of gear and selling lots of airplanes?
It's hot. Right now it's very hot. Awful lot of things are selling. I mean, I think Cirrus is the poster child, selling 600, 700 airplanes a year. People like it. And the Klappmeyers have been quite innovative. I hear some non-pilots say, boy, do I like flying that airplane. Just knowing that parachute is there just makes me feel safe. And, of course, we know the true story on that being aviators, but if it makes people feel good, that's great. You know, years ago, I got complaints about the range of my Aztec, and the real range of the Aztec wasn't the fuel, it was the bladder capacity of some of the females on board, and some of the males, too. I shouldn't separate that. So the early Learjets had kind of a crude little toilet system, and one of them got taken out by an interior shop, and the back seat on my Aztec now has a 600-mile-an-hour potty. And ever since I put that in, everybody's known that they could use it. When they know there's not a problem, they don't have to use it. I think it's been used once in like 20 years, and I hope it never gets used again. But but it is kind of interesting. Cessna this fall at AOPA says they're going to introduce the, at the AOPA, I still call it the plantation party. Anyhow, this year's in Palm Springs, and supposedly Cessna's Cirrus Killer will be displayed there. It's I guess they're really going to do it. Is Cessna really going to do a sport pilot aircraft? The feelers are out now, and be interesting to see if they do it or not.
You're number 13 in line for a Cessna Mustang. How is the VLJ thing going to play out?
I think these things are a little tougher to fly than most people realize. And also, when people start getting up at 30 and 40,000 feet, they're going to want a lot of the safety factors that are on, let's use a citation as a common denominator. They're going to want backups and backups and backups. And so I think the whole market gets up at the minimum very light jet that can really come out is the Cessna Mustang. I think the others are going to be limited on what they can do. They're all going to be very short range. And the Citation I have now, I think they advertise as having a 1,600-mile range. In reality, it's more like, with five people on board, it's more like 1,000 miles. And I think these very light jets are going to be 500 and 600-mile aircraft. So I think they're going to be more fun than they are going to be practical. So I don't know how many of these companies will survive. At the AOPA's Air Safety Foundation Board of Visitors, I heard Vern Rayburn talking about his flight training for the Eclipse, and what he had to say was absolutely wonderful and great. The only thing is, I don't think these airline captains and other jet pilots are going to want to sit in an Eclipse or even a Mustang with some non-professional pilot, and I just don't think you're going to be able to get the guys to do it. At one time, Russ, we ran an advertisement in the Airline Pilots Association's magazine. We said, fly after 60. come work at Sporty's Academy. And, you know, it's funny, we didn't get not one reply.
You've been listening to the thoughts on a variety of aviation topics of Hal Shevers of Sporty's Pilot Shop, who recently spoke with AvWeb's Russ Niles. Online at avweb.com, you'll find breaking stories and in-depth coverage on the latest aviation news. And if you like what you see, be sure to sign up for our twice-weekly AvWeb Flash newsletter. The latest headlines and features delivered directly to your email inbox. The best part, it's absolutely free. You can also subscribe to this podcast. Details and instructions at avweb.com. To comment on today's podcast, just drop us an email to audionews@avweb.com. Today's report was sponsored by Aviation Consumer, the consumer resource for pilots and aircraft owners. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for downloading AvWeb's audio news service.